Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Here we are already in Romans 14. Sometimes as Christians get a bad press, and sometimes we may be described by some people as being judgmental. I really hope that is not true, but I have heard it described that we can be judgmental, and that is an attitude that Paul addresses in chapter 14 of Romans. Is that accusation justified? I don't know. We will see. I think it's right that we don't water down God's word, that we preach the gospel, that Jesus died for sinners, and those that receive him shall be called children of God. And the key is that Jesus Christ is a stumbling block and not us. That's the key. That's one of the keys. Paul speaks about matters of personal conviction in chapter 14, and I'll read the scriptures in a moment. It's about our personal convictions, and they're clearly instructed how we should treat each other with different points of view. And that's unity in diversity of opinion. Unity in diversity of opinion on disputable matters. This is not about salvation. This is about different points of view that we've all reached. And the theme, I believe, is despite diversity of opinion on disputable matters, can we get along with our differences on non-essentials? Without taking a side or taking the moral high ground. The key, I think, one of the keys again is maturity, love, and self-denial. Maturity, love, and self-denial. So, let's go ahead and read God's word. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special, he does so unto the Lord. And he who eats meat, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, who do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down upon your brother? For we all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. So what is going on here? What is going on here? I think Paul is taking great care in not separating what he's joined together in previous chapters. He's taking great care not to divide the cultural and ethnic division, the family of God, i.e. the Jews and the Gentiles, which we've heard in previous chapters are being made one church, one body. So, regarding their personal convictions about eating meat or vegetables or observing certain holidays, it seems there is no right or wrong because both are acceptable unto the Lord. The question answered is, how can we, as the body of Christ, the church, maintain unity despite having different opinions on non-essentials? And I think ICS, this international church, is a perfect example of unity within diversity, with the different ethnic backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, the different denominations represented, shows it is possible. So, without putting up ethnic and cultural walls, which Paul has worked very hard in the previous chapters to demolish through Jesus Christ, he separates these views in the terms of faith, i.e. weak faith, which implies the other flip of the coin is a stronger faith. So what exactly does he mean by that? Well, we're given, has the battery just gone? Yeah, I think the battery's gone. Shall I just grab a mic?
Yeah.
No. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oops, on, is it? Yep. Am I on?
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. There we go.
So Paul separates these views in faith terms, in what we, which may be interpreted as unfortunate categories. Because if one is weak and one is strong, we automatically take the moral high ground if we pertain the stronger view. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit what I mean by that. Because I would guess whichever point of view that you take, whether you eat meat or you eat vegetables, in your own heart, it's right before God. And you are the stronger person. But clearly in Scripture here, I think it's separated. The man that eats meat has realized God has made everything clean. So Paul puts that to the man who has the stronger faith. But we've got to be very careful when we think about the man that eats only vegetables in the context that this letter was written. Because I believe the people that were abstaining from meat may not be as vegetarians, or for the same reasons vegetarians abstain from meat today. And I will suggest why. Because perhaps the Jews want to know whether the meat is kosher, whether the meat has been butchered according to Jewish law. And I think that's why some people that Paul's addressing would not eat meat. And perhaps the Gentile that wouldn't eat meat, has this meat been sacrificed in a pagan temple, where perhaps he used to worship, and that meat reminds him of his pagan lifestyle before he was saved. It doesn't mean he doesn't eat meat at home. It doesn't mean the Jew doesn't eat meat in their home when the meat knows that it's kosher. So I think it's not saying the vegetarian or the meat eater is stronger. I think what Paul is saying, the one that realizes God, when it's blessed, everything is okay. And now that we have the full canon of Scripture, that may not be an issue for us today like it was back in Paul's day. And perhaps the people that abstain from meat today do so for very different reasons, i.e. mass farming, you know, the way that meat is perhaps injected with different types of chemicals, and cruelty to animals. But I don't think this was the issue that Paul was writing to. I would imagine that the production and the butchery of animals would be very close to home for a lot of these people, and the issues are perhaps different. So what exactly does Paul mean by weak faith in the context? Well, it does not mean that they lack of faith in Christ. They did not lack faith in Jesus Christ, that's for sure. Or their religious devotion was weak or watery. Not at all. That was not the case. That is not what Paul was meaning. Nor did they have a shaky grasp on the basics of Christian faith or any wavering belief. That was not the weaker brother in the context of these passages. And they were not practicing any sin. Not at all. Far from it. What they were actually doing in their own minds was worshipping God by abstaining. They wanted to worship God. So, one acting in weak faith is not no faith. It was faith. And it was acceptable. I think when it's separated between strong and weak, we may make the mistake of taking the moral high ground. And I think that is a danger. And this is not what Paul was writing at the time. Romans 14 does not say that that moral discipline classifies as a believer as weak. The opposite was actually implied. And that an unburdened conscience proves that a believer is strong. That's not what this passage means. The stronger in faith were those who comprehended all food was clean in God's sight. Right. So what does that mean for us today? We may not have the same issues, but we certainly have issues. I think they may be different. Personal convictions are just that. They're personal. Our convictions, our matters of conscience, are based upon our life's experience and the cultural influence. Many, many things in life shape us, influence us into the views that we adopt. Like what country you were born in, or what country or countries you were raised in. They all have a big impact upon our lives. What our parents taught us, or perhaps what they failed to teach us. What church denominations shaped us. What theology we believe in. What school we attended. What college we went to. What university we graduated from, or if any. What political views do we adopt? Do we believe in? Lots of different things and experiences shape us and make us to be the person who we are today. And my personal convictions are very different from yours. But are they wrong? Are they right? They're right to us, aren't they? And I think that is wonderful. And it's all part of the rich tapestry of life. In the international church, like Skopje Church, we celebrate this diversity. And we should approach it. And the question here that's addressed, how do we approach disputable matters? I do not think being a vegetarian or observing holidays would cause any issues for us today. I really don't think whether I eat meat or you eat vegetables would be a big deal. But what is the big deal? I'll run a few off and see if they stick or not. How about drinking alcohol? That's one, isn't it? What about watching R-rated movies? Well, when I was young, they called them X-rated. But X-rated now means something else, I think. So R-rated movies is 18, I believe. Is that right? Or 21? 18?
18.
Okay. What about selling alcohol? I used to run a nightclub before I was saved. How about working a bar? What about tattoos?
Oh dear.
Stoning. What about body piercing?
Ooh.
There's one. About listening to rock music, video gaming, playing poker. About wearing a crucifix. Used to wear a crucifix. And Christian said, he's not on the cross anymore. He's risen. Went, oh, okay. My mum could be. She's a Catholic, you know? What about owning a Porsche? Or a very high quality, expensive car? I don't know. Cadillac, is it? We put Cadillac above Volkswagen last week. Or I put it the other way, but there we are. That's European to America. No offense meant. So a high luxury priced car. Would you have issues? There was a £100,000 car in the car park outside the church, the pastor driving that. I wish. Using birth control. Smoking. Cigarettes or cigars? How about sending your children to public school? Because public school in the UK is private school. Private school in the US is private school, I guess. What about homeschooling? Is it right, wrong, or indifferent? What about wearing a head covering in church, ladies? Don't see any today. Observing Halloween. What about working on a Sunday? The list goes on, friends.
Yeah.
It goes on and on. And I hope one or two of them things actually rubbed you up a little bit. Got an expression out of you. Got some feeling out of you. Because we all face these personal preferences, and how we work them out may be different to how you would work them out. Having an opinion isn't a bad thing. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I think it's good to have an opinion and know what we believe. I think that's really good and healthy. As summer's approaching, it may be difficult to remember last winter, but maybe the next slide will help you. This is me digging the car out the drive. We had a little bit of snow. Was it January, February? I can't really remember.
January.
February?
Oh, January.
January? Okay. So, digging the car out. As you see, the car was buried in snow, and there I am with my hat and my coat on, trying to scrape the snow off the car. And once I did that, I couldn't get out the drive. The drive was just full of snow. Unfortunately, Ray Power called around in his nice 4x4 Toyota and reversed down the driveway and put some tracks that I didn't have to shovel the path all on my own. He got stuck, even in his 4x4, but after a while, he managed to get out. So he put two great treads down the driveway so I didn't have to dig the whole driveway out and get my car. And with it being a real wheel drive car, I think it was 2 days later I managed to get it out. But the path was still covered in snow. And Ray couldn't drive down the path because I had to shovel that path on my own. So I got out the snow shovel, and shoveled that bath, put a load of salt down, shoveling away, and a few, maybe an hour or two later, the path was clear. And I could walk up and down, Maya could come and go, and everybody was happy. Until I looked at my neighbor's bath. Oh, where did I shovel that snow? Oh dear. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about, oh, here we are. I'll get out. You hearing me?
Yeah.
Hear me? So what junk are we shoveling on each other? I think it's easy to slip and slide on the snow, on our own snow. But when we shovel it all on our neighbor's path and insist on our way, that's when we become unstuck. When we insist our point of view is the right one regarding non-essentials in these disputable matters. Stating that my opinion is the only right, correct opinion, and leaving no room or thought for anybody else's opinion. And when we force our views on somebody else, or we look down our noses upon somebody else that has a different opinion. We're all on this pilgrimage. We're all on this journey. And you know, we're family. Brothers and sisters. We're family. And we're going to spend eternity together. Let's not bite and devour each other. Let's make a good start now. Despite having a different point of view regarding a personal conviction. Is it better to lose an argument and win a friend? And this is in the church. This is, Paul is addressing the family of God. Personal convictions regarding practices that are neither commanded nor prohibited in the Bible. We follow two standards. We follow two standards. One point of view is different. One will say, if it's not commanded, it must be prohibited. Okay? If it's not commanded in the Bible, therefore it must be prohibited. The other view is, if it's not prohibited, it must be permitted. The glass half full or half empty? The point is, Christian freedom and Christian piety are perfectly compatible. Perfectly compatible. Not mutually exclusive. Freedom from the law does not account for freedom of God's moral requirements. We haven't got to get mixed up here. Personal convictions regarding practices that are neither explicit... Oh, I just read that, sorry. The point is that Christian freedom and piety, we can have both points of view and we both can be right. I think it's unfortunate that he says weak and strong. And there is definitely weak and strong in the context that Paul was writing. But if we look at the point of view that we agree with, we're doing it as worship unto the Lord. And we must see each other's point of view as that in these matters. That we're all on a different path, a different place, a different time. Some of you have been saved for how long, Gary?
50
years. And some of us haven't. And we're all in a different place. But we're brothers and sisters. So what's the application? Well, let's stop judging family in these matters. that recognizing that we're brothers and sisters. That we're brothers and sisters. Are we going to spend eternity together? So let's make a good start today. Let's not fall out with somebody that they have a different point of view. Humble ourselves despite your point of view. Lose an argument and win a friend. And let us choose to help and not hinder. Goes further next week. It even talks about denying yourself for the sake of your brother. I'll leave that for next week. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Do we always have to be right? I've got a cup at home and it says, Mr. Always Right. I don't know what she means. But I know she loves me. We don't have to insist on our way. But we leave room for somebody to have a different point of view. And recognizing that each other's personal convictions are worship to God. Worship to God. And God's a jealous God. And he doesn't want to stop anybody worshiping him. If we adopt this attitude, it will help us to love each other and accept each other with the diversity that God has made us. Let us not hinder how our brothers and sisters worship God. Our opinion is just that. It's ours. Let's keep it to ourselves. Because God is the only true judge. We do not know the motivations of other people's hearts. Don't even try. Don't even go there. We have enough on unpacking our own heart without looking at somebody else's. Leave the judgment to God because he alone knows. So love, unity, and self-denial. That we would pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.